So as I hope you're beginning to see, everything that we see in the Mass, everything that we do has a deep and profound meaning. And the beginning of the Mass, the procession, when everybody's coming in, is no different than everything else. After the priest completes his preparations in the sacristy, he enters into the church. And on your, don't forget if you want your outlines, they're back there on that back table. But on your outline, you'll have a quote there from a bishop from the 13th century. And he had this to say about the procession. He said, "The priest comes forth from the holy chamber, clad in sacred vestments, and approaches the altar to show that Christ, the hope of the nations, came forth from his secret dwelling in the heavens, clothed in a holy flesh, drawn from the spotless virgin, and entered into this world." So as the procession comes in, you know, you have the altar servers, they have their candles, and they're on either side of the crucifix as they enter. That's what leads the procession. And they represent, if you recall the stories from the Old Testament of the Jews as they left Egypt, that our Lord would appear at night as a pillar of fire. And so those candles kind of represent that, our Lord coming into the sanctuary. And the incense even is like the pillar of the cloud. So you have the pillar of the cloud that was on during the day that they would see. The priest then ascends to the altar. He walks up the steps, and this kind of symbolizes Moses in the Old Testament. He ascends the mountain, and he does so, what, as a mediator on behalf of the people, because they could not. This ascension of Moses up the mountain prefigures our Lord as he ascends the hill of Calvary, right? As he's going to take his cross up, and he's going to offer himself to the Father to ask the Lord for forgiveness. And he's taking the love of the people, uniting it to himself, uniting that to his sacrifice. So the priest then, the next step that happens is that he's going to reverence the altar. You notice they go up, they go around, the priest and the deacon will kiss the altar, because that's where the holy sacrifice of the Mass will take place. And this helps, this is the entrance, if you will, into the mystery of our Lord's passion, his death, and resurrection. After the procession into the church, the priest makes the sign of the cross. We talked about a little bit about that last week, about what that means and what we're doing. And then he says the words, "The Lord be with you." And this reminds us that God is calling all of us on a mission, right? We're not just there to just be there, but that we're going to be given a gift, and that we're to take that gift out into the world and to share that with other people. It most especially to remind us that on our own, right, he's saying to us in our own, or he's saying to us that he's giving us, like, "The Lord be with you," because on our own, we're not even worthy to participate in this. God has given us the grace that we need to even be there, to even offer up a sacrifice that's going to be pleasing to him, united to his Son. We respond to this greeting by saying, "And with your spirit." And if you look on your outline, there's a quote there from St. John Chrysostom. And he had this to say about this. He said, "By this reply, you are reminded that the work of the liturgy is brought about by the grace of the Holy Spirit. Do not attend to the nature of the one you see," and he's talking about the priest here, "but understand the grace which is invisible. If the Spirit was not present, there would be no church assisting. But if the church stands around, it is clear that the Spirit is present." Following this, we pray the Confiteor together, where we confess our sins to God and to one another, as we see in Scripture, right, as we see in the Epistle of St. James. This is something that I think, and I know I fail at this, but I think a lot of Catholics don't really put into practice is in preparing for the Mass, is to kind of examine your conscience for the week, like to see how you've done. Like some of us will have like the habit of doing that every night, but kind of before we go to Mass, before we have that offering that we're going to give to God, is kind of looking back at the week and saying, you know, where have I failed? Where are the places that I need to ask the Lord for forgiveness? And this is what we're doing in the Confiteor, is to ask for forgiveness for those sins. Father Guardini, in the book that I mentioned in the last class called Sacred Signs, has this to say about this gesture. He's talking about striking the breast in the Confiteor. He says, "All its meaning lies in its being done rightly done. To brush one's clothes with the tips of one's fingers is not to strike the breast. We should beat upon our breasts with our closed fists. It is an honest blow, not an elegant gesture. To strike the breast is to beat against the gates of our inner world in order to shatter them. This is its significance. That world, that inner world, should be full of light, strength, and active energy. Is it? We should engage most earnestly in the search to find out how it really stands with us within. We have loaded ourselves with innumerable offenses. Do they trouble us? Awake, look into yourself, bethink yourself, reflect, repent, do penance. It is the voice of God. Striking the breast is the visible sign that we hear that summons. Let the blow penetrate. Let it rouse up that sleeping inner world. Let it wake us up and make us see and turn to God. And when we do reflect, what do we see? We see our lives trifled away, God's commandments transgressed, duties neglected, through my fault, through my fault, through my most grievous fault. A world of guilt lies imprisoned within our breasts. We are stirred to anger against ourselves on account of our sins. The blow also is to wake us up. It is to shake the soul awake into the consciousness that God is calling, so that she may hear and take his part and punish herself. She reflects, repents, and is contrite. So after we pray the Confiteor, after we ask our Lord, or we confess our sins to our Lord, then we ask him for mercy, right? We go into the Kyrie. We beg three times for God's mercy. We say, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. So in this prayer, we've laid our sins out before our Lord, and then we're crying for mercy because we realize that we have nothing that we can do about that, that we have to beg for forgiveness, and our Lord in his mercy and in his grace forgives us. The Kyrie expresses our need to be saved, and we do this during the Mass because that forgiveness only comes through our salvation only comes through that sacrifice that we're present at. So at this point, we all know, like, the character of the Mass changes. We've been talking about sin and repentance and asking our Lord to forgive us, and it flows from there into the Gloria, right? We turn to praising God for exactly what just happened, right? The fact that he is merciful, that he has decided to give us his grace, that he is going to forgive us for the sins that we just confessed. We turn all our attention to him. We turn all our attention to the one that we're there to adore, and him alone. As the Gloria states, we praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we glorify you, we give you thanks for your great glory. We're kind of like piling praise upon praise upon praise. The Gloria, interestingly enough, and as a lot of the prayers in the Mass are, is made up a lot from the text in Scripture. The beginning of the Gloria you might be familiar with is actually from the words of the song sung by the angels as they proclaim the Messiah to the shepherds once our Lord is born at his nativity. And as those multitude of angels erupt into song, they are preparing the shepherds, right, for the great joy of God becoming man and his presence right there in Bethlehem. So when we use these words from Scripture in the Gloria, we prepare ourselves for Christ's presence in the Mass, especially in the Eucharist. After the Gloria, the priest invites everyone, right, to join their prayers together. He says, let us pray. And we kind of all pray in silence for a beat. And following this time of silent prayer, the priest is going to gather all our prayers together. And this prayer is known as the Collect. As we talked about a couple weeks ago, the priest in the Mass is acting in persona Christi. Everybody remember that means? Pretty simple Latin term, even if you don't know Latin, which I don't. But it's kind of, you just chop off the ends, right? In the person of Christ. This means his actions are the actions of Jesus Christ. And since he's acting in the person of Jesus, this means the priest represents that mediator that we were talking about before, that as Moses was the mediator for Israel, the priest is our mediator in the church. So in this part of the Mass, he's kind of gathering all the prayers of the body, that's us, and uniting them to the head and offering them to our Father. So in this prayer, both the head and the body pray as one. That's the whole purpose of the Mass, is to unite ourselves to Jesus' prayer, and to be, because we're being prepared ourselves to be sacrificed, to be offered to the Father. So that prayer concludes the introductory rites.